The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, just above Alto Forno Restaurant on 41 Cross Street, and just across the street from the North Shore Mall, where the new entrance from 114 has just opened this past week. They put up a big giant Christmas tree over there. The entrance is there. There's no real stores on some sides of it, a lot of construction, but the parking lot is a lot more manageable now. Lots more places where you can park, many ways in which you can get into the mall. So thank you, Mark Whiting, for finally cleaning all of that up. Really, really appreciate that. Tesla has their sign up on the building across the street. Lifetime Fitness is moving right along, I should say. Amigos, the Mexican restaurant over at the mall, they're open. Hop and Grind is open. Lots of things going on over there. So it's quite busy, and I get the bird's eye view from my treetop studios on the second floor of 41 Cross Street, right above Alto Forno Restaurant. But my name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial. We are, like I said, located in Peabody. We've been doing this since 1968. My father started the firm all the way back then, when financial planning really wasn't something that anybody even talked about. It was about, well, hey, if I could save a few extra bucks, maybe throw it into the stock market or into some kind of an investment account, I'd consider it. But, you know, people really didn't know what they were doing back then. But now people are a little bit more focused on their financial future, because unlike the 60s and the 70s, pensions don't seem to exist for that many folks anymore. The responsibility of saving for your future is through your 401k, through a 457, a 403b plan you might have. Maybe it's a Roth IRA that you set up. Maybe it's your own personal savings. Maybe you're counting on an inheritance, for all I know. Maybe. And you know what? There's a lot of people that will be counting on inheritances. And it's interesting in my business, where I've been doing this 28 years. I joined my dad's firm in 1991, where we're beginning to see a collection of 40 and 50-year-olds not focusing too much on saving for their own future, but instead living life to its fullest, living in the moment. You're hearing that term around a lot, living in the moment, with the expectation that, well, eventually I'm going to inherit what my parents have accumulated, and they're pretty stingy with the way they spend their money, and they've got this house that's worth some money. I know they're just living off the income from their investments. There's going to be a lot of money to pass along. And so they actually, though they don't say it out loud, they actually believe that their future is rather secure based upon the potential inheritance they might receive 20, 30 years down the road. The little secret that they don't understand is that you, as a 60 or 70-year-old, if that's who you are at this point, are likely to live a lot longer than your parents and your grandparents ever did. And your need for money may not be money that you need today for spending and living expenses, but it might be money that you need for healthcare costs and paying for a nursing home and taking care of a lot of health-related issues. Maybe it's remodeling your house because you simply don't want to leave. You've been there for so long. You say, what would it take to make my home more accessible for myself and my family to maneuver into a shower, to a kitchen counter, through a doorway, to a seating arrangement somewhere? Those are expenses that will come up, and the inheritance may not be as large. But I think it's going to be a wake-up call. People are all worried. lately about the fact that the stock market's sitting at an all-time high. And they go, oh my goodness, we've had such a great run, 10 years of a run. We've been making money. We really haven't experienced an extensive downturn in the market. And when that happens, what will change? I can tell you a few things that will happen. And it's no different from what happened 10 years ago. Those who are in retirement will readjust their spending lifestyle to accommodate what they can afford when the markets pull back a little bit. They're not looking to buy another house. They're not going to have to look for another job because they're retired. It's those that are in their 40s and 50s who have been living life to its fullest, not really spending too much time saving, but spending what they're making, living life to its fullest. They might be in for a rude awakening, because if unemployment starts to roll back and they find themselves, well, all of these startup opportunities that they wanted to be part of aren't necessarily in the picture right now. We need to have layoffs and cutbacks and rollbacks and whatever has to happen. And now all of a sudden they can't afford to pay for the kids' Nikes and fancy jeans and college expenses and all that kind of stuff. They're in for an awakening. And then that what happens to them is they say, oh my goodness, now I can't afford maybe my mortgage, or I can't afford certain things. And they go to mom and dad and they say, mom and dad, can you help us out? Well, that's unfortunate, because mom and dad are having to make adjustments. And so mom and dad are having to think, well, we can make adjustments. Are we willing to sacrifice even more for our own children? And that becomes a predicament. That's a concern that I see. I don't see the 40-year-old community, the 30 and 40-year-old community, building a discipline yet of recognizing that it's fun to live in the lifestyle that we're in today, the world we live in today, but starting to put some money aside for their future. They're really not thinking about that. And that concerns me, because when mom and dad pass away, when mom and dad pass away and you inherit this money, you're going to get this bulk of money. Some will inherit, some won't, but a lot of people are going to inherit some money. And you'll continue to spend and you'll live. But what kind of lessons and what kind of legacy will you pass along to your kids? See, I'm more worried about not the next generation that's going to retire. I'm worried about the next generation. The parents, the people who are in their 70s and 80s today, I'm not worried about your kids. I'm worried about your grandkids. Because I don't think your grandkids are going to be given the discipline by their parents and by others to understand what it really means to save for the future. Because we've all lived such a tremendous lifestyle. When you think about what your life was growing up, roll back 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years ago, you're not spending money nearly the way you're spending money today. And I think we need to think about what the implication is to say, if we can grow exponentially from where we were 30 years ago to today, is that exponential growth of being able to spend the way we are doing it, living the way we're doing it, is that able to continue another 30 years? Will we be spending differently, even more, even greater? I don't think so. I think there's got to be a reversion back to a mean. That's what happens. We learn from our mistakes. And I think many of us are making the mistake of living too expensively right now, because we want to continue to live to keep up with the Joneses. That's dangerous. I think it's fascinating that when you ask somebody who's 20 or 30 years old, what does a car cost? They will tell you what the lease payment is on a typical car. They have no idea what a car costs. That's unfortunate. Leasing a car versus buying a car. Leasing a car for most people is they lease it because it's affordable and they know they can get a new car every 3 or 4 years. But then there's the other responsible group that says, well, I'd rather make payments on my car for 4 or 5 years, but own my car for 8 or 9. Now that seems a lot more responsible. That means sounds fiscally responsible, financially responsible. But sure is nice to have new stuff all the time. And we're in a world today that feels like we need to have shiny new stuff all the time. Is that healthy? I just think we need to find a balance. There are some folks that can afford it without any worry whatsoever. And if you're financially secure enough in your life to know that you can afford it without any worry, go for it. But if you're buying it because everybody else is doing it, but you don't know how it's implicating your financial situation, I say buyer beware. In fact, we were talking to somebody earlier this week. A client was in the office, and he had recently sold a piece of property, and he had an influx of money that came in, and he decided that with the money that he came in, what was he going to do with the money? He was going to pay off his kids' credit card bills. Your kids' credit card bills? That's what you're going to do from the sale of the property that you just had? He says, yeah, well, you know, my daughter's built up about $26,000 in credit cards. And when I looked at what the interest was that she was paying, it was just ridiculous. I said, I'll just make it go away. Well, just making it go away, what kind of discipline does that set up for her to not build up that credit card debt again? Oh, I promise, Grandpa, I won't do it. I promise, Dad, I will never do it again. And you do, because it's so damn easy. Because you were spending that money. You were spending that money, and you just, it just becomes part of what you do. You say, oh, well, if I don't have to write the check to the credit card company now, now I can go buy that car I wanted. Or maybe I can, oh, go to Jordan's Furniture and buy a whole new bedroom set because there's 0% financing for 2 years. I don't know if Jordan's still doing that program or not, but you know what I mean. And you just build up these problems. When do we teach financial responsibility? Well, that's something that we talked about the past couple shows, actually, if you've been listening. We talked about some visits that I've made to North Andover High School and talked to their personal finance class about personal financial responsibility. And man, does it go over well. It's a great lesson. The kids are shocked when they learn more and more and more about what it means to be financially responsible and how their parents are laying out money that they had no idea how much it was. Because the parents also have to pay for, oh, get this, a mortgage, electric and heat and cable and food and clothing and. It's pretty wild. We need to be teaching personal financial responsibility because, frankly, it's not getting taught anywhere. And we know it as parents. We know it, but we are the product and the problem for our children if we're not good exhibitors of good financial responsibility. We need to work on that. As we head into Christmas and Hanukkah and all the other holidays that fall upon us this holiday season, we are a bit more generous. We're a bit more thoughtful. We buy stuff and it's because it's pretty easy, isn't it? I mean, you don't even have to leave your house anymore. I mean, think about all the stuff that you can buy on Amazon. By the way, what can't you buy on Amazon? Tell me, I mean, I could tell you what you can buy on Amazon. I think I'd have a hard time telling you what I can't buy on Amazon. What can't you buy besides a hug, love, honesty? I mean, what can't you buy on Amazon? Think about it. I mean, I could buy this microphone I'm talking through right now on Amazon, and I could do it before we go to a commercial break. And speaking of that, we do have to take a break because I've just been rambling for this first segment. But I just want to remind you, Friedman Financial provides independent financial planning and investment management services to individuals and families who live on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the Southern New Hampshire area. Every year, we begin to see more and more people calling our office, visiting our office, asking for more information because they say, you know, Mark, what you talk about on the radio is the stuff that connects with me. It's financial advice in a language I can understand. And the relationships that I have with other financial professionals seem more like a sales strategy, a gimmick, a pressured environment. You're not going to get that at Friedman Financial. We've been doing this far too long. If now's the time to schedule some time to visit with us, give me a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We'll be back with more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
I need a dollar, dollar.
Planning for retirement and managing your investments has never been more difficult. Chances are you're trying, but worried you may make a misstep. Friedman Financial is all about getting your financial house in order and providing financial advice in a language you can understand. Their interactive software and in-person conversations will help you determine if you're on track. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has delivered independent advice. If now's the time to get serious about life and retirement, visit Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had $1 million.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. We are back. We just did a little segment and I did a bit of a rant on financial responsibility and and how we need to be a little bit more careful with how we're spending our money. But we are here each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. to provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand. Sometimes I go on those little rants and hopefully you found it helpful. Perhaps I ticked off a few people, but hey, that's radio and that's what we do. Each of us have our own little opinions on how a lot of things work, but it seems to be working. People seem to really appreciate the unpolished, kind of non-politically correct advice that I might offer up here on the radio station sometimes. Some might feel a little offended by it, but I do my best to try to appeal to as many people as I can. So thank you for listening. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial. We are located in Peabody, Massachusetts, and we've been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families all around the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the Southern New Hampshire area since 1968. A long, long time. Approaching our 52nd year. Not me. I was only two when my dad started the firm, but dad retired in 2007. I joined the firm in 1991. Maybe you've heard my business partner, Marion, who joined us in 2000. So, you know, Marion and I have a lot of experience working together, over 20 years of working together, providing our clients with some financial advice in a language they can understand. And that's one of the things that people really enjoy. People come to us oftentimes thinking that we're just going to talk to them about some investment strategy or some approach. And we say, hold on a second. We need to understand the big picture, the really, really big picture before we start investing your money. Because many people, one of the questions people will ask now is they'll say, Mark, are you a fiduciary? Well, yeah, I'm a fiduciary. I'm also a certified financial planner. And as a certified financial planner, I am obligated to be a fiduciary. But saying I'm a fiduciary and being a fiduciary are two very different things. See, a fiduciary has the responsibility of placing your interests first. What does that mean? What does that mean to place your interests first? Well, it can be interpreted a number of different ways. So I try to interpret it through this lens. My feeling is that if I'm going to place your interests first, I need to know your entire financial situation. And if we're not willing to have an open and honest conversation with data that supports your financial situation, I can't be a fiduciary to you. So what I mean by that is if you said, Mark, hey, my mom just passed away, and I inherited $250,000. Can you give me an idea of what I could do with it? And I might say, well, you know, what's your time horizon? How long is it until you need the money? Oh, I don't need this money for a long time. How much risk do you want to take? Well, I'm not really a risk taker, but I, you know, if the account dropped 25%, I'd be a little concerned. But if it dropped 10%, I wouldn't be too concerned. So, you know, I guess moderate. Are those two answers enough for me to be a fiduciary and provide you with guidance? I say absolutely not. And in fact, so does the Securities and Exchange Commission. The Securities and Exchange Commission looks at those two questions and the answers to those two questions as being able to identify what is a discussion around suitability. Did you share enough suitable information for me to be able to figure out a general idea of an investment strategy that would work for this amount of money? Was that really what you wanted? I think you wanted something more than that. My belief is in order to be a fiduciary to place your interest first, I need to ask a lot more questions. Here's some of the questions that are really important. Tell me about the kind of money that you make right now. And of the money that you make, how much of that money are you putting towards savings? How much of it are you putting towards your kids' 529 plans? How much of it is building up in a bank account? How much of it is being used towards insurance, towards expenses, towards taxes, all of that? Yo, you don't know that information? Not a problem. That's one of the things that we're going to help you understand and figure out. Because that's the first part. If you don't know where your money's going, what's coming in and what's going out, how do we know that you have the proper cash flow to not have to touch the money that you just inherited when you say, oh, I don't think I'll need the money? I want to have some confidence around that. Then I also want to learn, tell me about other investments that you have. Maybe tell me about your 401k. Tell me about money that's in the bank. Tell me about any variable annuities or these other insurance products that you might have. Tell me about a 401k. Tell me, you could have a number of different items. It could be currencies. It could be hard assets. It could be a lot of different things. I want to understand all of it. I want to look at all of those items, understand what it's costing you to maintain these investments, understand what the risk is within each of those various accounts, and understanding how each of those investments interact with the others so that we can make a much larger picture of what does your financial risk profile look like. Do you own your home? Do you have a mortgage? Are you responsible for paying for your parents' costs? How about funding your kids? How's the health situation of your children? How's your health situation? What's your life expectancy going to look like? All of those. And there's hundreds of other questions. But by asking as many as we can and building on them over the course of the year, we serve the role as being a fiduciary. Now, don't you think I could help you make a much more informed decision about what to do with your money when we know where everything is, what everything's worth, what your obligations are, what you're spending, what's coming in, what's the strength of your job, all of those things? That's when I'm a fiduciary. And then one says, well, are you a fee-only guy? Well, here's the thing about fee-only. Here's the thing about fee-only. Fee-only planners are in a situation, when they say they're fee-only, you have to ask, what does fee-only mean? So let me ask you this. If I were to say, I'm going to charge you $200 an hour for my time, for the visits that we have every time we talk, I'm going to bill you at a rate of $200 an hour, would that be considered a commission, fee-based, or fee-only? What would you think that? If you were to put it into one of three categories, I'm going to pay you an hourly rate, Mark. It's going to be considered fee-only, fee-based, or commission. I think most people would agree that must be fee-only because you're paying a fee for that service. Now, what if I decided to charge you a flat $5,000 a year fee to work with you, call it a retainer, whatever it is? Would that fall under the category of fee-only, fee-based, or commissions? Well, I think that would fall under fee-only as well. What if I told you that I want to provide you ongoing financial planning advice, and we want to manage the money that you place under our management, and we charge you a fee, a 1% fee, using that as a number, based on the amount of money that's placed under our management? Would you call that fee-only, fee-based, or commission? I don't know about you, but I'd call that fee-based. I would call it, it's a fee based on the assets that are under our management. That's what I would call it. That's the way we work at Friedman Financial. But some people who operate just under that principle call it fee-only. So there's a lot of misinterpretation around fee-only and fee-based. Now, here's the red flag that goes up. They say, well, Mark, you also hold a license that allows you to sell certain products for a commission. This is true. I will tell you, commissions at Friedman Financial represent less than 2% of the revenue to our office. But I still have a license. If someone says to me, Mark, I'd like to buy a term life insurance policy through you. Okay. I sell you a term life insurance policy, I earn a commission on that. Someone says to me, Mark, I have shares of stock that I want to sell or buy through you. And I say to them, okay, I will sell it in my brokerage account where I might earn a small commission for the single transaction, but I don't want to charge you a fee ongoing for the stock that's there. That would be silly. So yes, I might earn a commission there. So because I still carry a securities license, I am considered fee-based rather than just fee-only. I think it is very, very shady. Shady is probably the wrong word. Very opaque, misunderstood. Because there are many people who hold themselves as fee-only advisors, yet they set up a separate company. They say, my name is John Q. Smith Financial Advisor, but I also have this separate company called, Portfolio Specialists. And my brokerage business, my commission-based business is done through Portfolio Specialists. My fee-based business is done through John Q., public, whatever, a financial advisor, and they can call themselves fee-only. It's all semantics, folks. You really need to understand what you're buying. One of the things that I try to help you with here on the radio is understand what it is that you're buying. I can't tell you how many people we've met that come to us and they say, well, the financial advisor I work with says he doesn't collect any commissions, and the company pays him instead. Well, there's some truth to that. But that doesn't mean it's not costing you money. That cost is built into your investment. Oh, no, Mark, the company's paying. Yeah, I get that. The company has to operate. For you to work with somebody, for you to work with anybody, I don't care whether you're buying curtains, mozzarella sticks or financial instruments. I mean, someone's making money. That's what business is all about. There's margins in there that represent profits and represents earnings for people. So in the instance of just people saying that, well, the company pays me, some people, like, for instance, you go to the Fidelity office, walk into any Fidelity office, and they'll say, oh, you know, Fidelity pays me. Don't you worry about that. That's right. Fidelity does pay you. Do you pay a fee for the accounts that you have with Fidelity? In some cases, you do. In some cases, you do. But in other cases, they might just say, well, the company pays me. That's right. The company pays this individual a salary to service your account. Now, you'll notice the people that work on salary, here's this how this works, by the way. The people that work on salary, they never provide you advice, do they? They will just tell you, well, here's a booklet. You can pick and choose what you'd like, but I can't tell you what to do because they're not paid to provide advice. They're provided a salary to provide services to you, operation services, support services. They can't provide advice. When you use some of their advisor-driven services where you're actually paying a fee for advice, yeah, they can provide you advice there. You need to know what you're buying. I'm not saying that any of these are bad. I just want you to be informed. That's what's most important to me. You as a consumer need to be informed. You need to know what you're buying. I love it when guys say, well, you won't pay anything if you buy this investment. However, if you take it out in the first 7 years, there will be a fee to you. That's called, they used to call this B share accounts. It was a type of a class of share of accounts. They also used to call them deferred accounts. Trust me, you're paying for this. It's more expensive for you to own an investment where you have what's called a deferred surrender charge. Money coming, there's the potential for you having to pay a fee over the next 7 years than it is for something when you pay a fee up front, a commission up front, or a small fee on a continual basis. You need to understand what you're buying. And it's not easy to explain it on the radio. I mean, I could focus on one item or two items, but folks, if you're finding yourself confused, if you're finding yourself wondering, geez, I wonder how my advisor does get paid. Whether it's the guy at the bank, whether it's an investment advisor, whether it's at a brokerage office, at a wirehouse, or an insurance company, it doesn't matter. Come visit us. It costs nothing, nothing at all, for you to sit down and have a free initial consultation at our office. And I will expose you to what it is that you're paying. And what you're paying may be a fair and reasonable price. But you are entitled to know what it's costing you. And then you have to say, okay, well, if it's costing me this and my advisor is making that, am I getting value now that I know what I'm paying this person? And that is a decision, that's called an informed decision. You know, as we approach the end of the year here, the end of 2019, 2020 is just around the corner, and it's time to put on that 2020 vision. I mean, those glasses, I guess, are going to be nice and easy to make for the New Year's this year. You know where the eye holes are going to be on the 2020 glasses, right, that they do in Times Square. That's going to be real easy. But when we get back, we got to take a quick break. But when we get back, I want to talk to you about some things to put on your year-end financial checklist. There's only a few weeks left in the year. You got Christmas ahead of you. You got Hanukkah. You got New Year's. You got all the festive holiday parties, all this kind of stuff. But if you're not putting your financial house in order, if you're not getting yourself ready for the years to come, you're making your mistake. You're missing out on a gift that you deserve. And maybe I can offer up some hints, some little stocking stuffer ideas for you to plan better and to build that year-end financial checklist. Before I get out of here, let me remind you about our newsletter that comes out each and every Friday. It's called Planning Pointers. Go to our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, to ease in a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page on our website. You put in your name, your email address, and you're immediately signed up for Planning Pointers, where we provide 3 tidbits of information, financial advice in a language you can understand, each and every Friday delivered directly to your inbox at 10:30 in the morning. More than 7,500 people subscribe to this newsletter. Just go to FriedmanFinancial.com, Friedman, to ease in a D, financial.com. We got to get out of here, but just take a quick break. I'm going to have a little coffee and like I need it. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Since 1989, more than a million New Englanders have come to Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater to listen for those two wonderful words that mean Christmas is here.
Bah, humbug.
Join Ebenezer Scrooge, Tiny Tim, and the area's largest cast of actors, singers, and revelers for the 29th annual production of A Christmas Carol. In this lavish musical adaptation of the Charles Dickens classic, you'll see Victorian England come to vibrant life accompanied by a live orchestra and a dazzling array of ghostly special effects. See the show the Boston Globe has called flawless and spellbinding for all ages. North Shore Music Theater's production of A Christmas Carol plays from December 6th through the 22nd only. Get your tickets today at nsmt.org. Sponsored by Market Street Linfield.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, where we've been providing financial advice in a language you can understand to individuals and families who live on the North Shore. Did we reset this? Oh, we are going. Oh, yeah. Just to let our listeners know, I'm trying to do a video blog of this show as well, and I got this camera staring in my eyeballs here, and I don't know whether the red light is on or it's off, and so Jay, my trusty producer, has made sure that the button is running, so I just kind of cut myself off there, but I'll jump back in. It's early. It's Sunday. We're getting close to the holidays. It's a little bit fruity around here, and so we're having a fruity. My kids will laugh at that when they hear that on the radio tomorrow, today. Yeah, I'll hear about that when I get home. They go, Dad, fruity? Where'd that one come from? Anyways, I'll start over. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, just across from the North Shore Mall, above Alto Forno Restaurant, 41 Cross Street. You've heard it 1,000 times. I say it every single segment, every single morning on the radio. We've been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families who live on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the Southern New Hampshire area since 1968. If now is the time for you to say, you know what? I need a second opinion. I got to get serious about my financial situation. I don't know where everything is. I don't know what anything's worth. I got stuff scattered all over the place. If now is the time for you to say, this is my New Year's resolution. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to focus on that 2020. I'm going to get 2020 vision on my financial plan for next year. Give us a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We are here to help you. Marion, who is my business partner, who's on the show here periodically, she and I are the two certified financial planners that you will have an opportunity to meet with. It is absolutely low pressure. We have been doing this far too long. I want you to feel good about the decision that you make. I want you to feel comfortable about becoming part of the Friedman Financial family. Let me give you a little background about what it is that you're looking at if you were considering our firm. Friedman Financial has 450 families that we provide services to. Our services are provided at our office in Peabody. Our office hours are 8:30 to 5 Monday through Friday. We do not go to your home to do evening appointments or weekend appointments. We want you to come to us because we, frankly, here's the truth, I want to control the distractions. When it comes down to your money, when it comes down to understanding your financial life, I don't want the phone ringing. I don't want the pie baking in the oven. I don't want the dog barking, the TV running, the kids walking into the house, the baby screaming. I don't, a water pipe bursting. I don't want any of that stuff happening. I want you to focus on your financial life. You give your doctor and your dentist your utmost attention. Well, sometimes because they have you strapped into a chair, but we will not do that at Friedman Financial. We have a comfortable conference room. We'll put your financial situation up on the screen so we can all view it together. We'll run what-if scenarios. We'll allow you to imagine, what if I did this? What if I did that? What if I quit my job and reduced my pay and went somewhere to a place that I really enjoy? Or what if I got this inheritance? Or what if? We can run all those scenarios. And you see it, and it's presented in plain English. Actually, it's presented in a language you can understand. If at that point you say to yourself, you know what? I like this. I like being able to revisit and look at my situation on an ongoing basis, to be able to see where we're traveling, to see how our progress is doing, to wonder when I need to take money out of my investment accounts, where will I pull it from? and know that there's a trusted partner behind you to make those decisions. Maybe that's the time where you say, you know what? I think these guys should also understand where all of my investments are, and maybe they should be managing them as well. And that's what people do. They move their assets that they've held at other places over to us so that we can provide both investment management and financial planning services to you. How much money do we have under management? Well, it's a lot. It's close to $450 million now. That is a lot of money. It's a little less than $500 million. Now, does that mean that you have to be super rich to work at Friedman, to work with us at Friedman Financial? Well, I'll let you decide what is super rich, what's rich. The average household has roughly $750,000 in investable assets at our office. Some have less than that. Some have more than that. But there's not people running around my office that have $40 million and $30 million. No, we don't take those types of accounts. That's a whole different stratosphere, a whole different level of planning and groupings here. Our typical clients have a total net worth, including their investment accounts, of somewhere between $1.5 and $3.5 million. Yeah, there's more than that. There's a little bit less than that. But that's the general scope. So if you've got a net worth of around $2 million, including your house, you know, we are bullseye the service that you need. I'd love to talk with you. Give our office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Not in the office today, of course. It's Sunday. I'm here. But if you leave a message on the machine or you call us later in the week, Jody, my assistant, will answer the phone. She'll talk to you a little bit. We'll send you out our information kit. Yeah, that's something that we do at Friedman Financial. If you're interested in our firm, I want to put everything that we do, I want you to know everything that we do and put it in writing. I not only put it up on my website, of course we have it up on the website, but I want you to have it mailed to you as well. We want to push out something to you, comes in a very nice folder. It explains to you, here's how I prepare for an initial appointment. Here's what we want you to gather. Here's what you can expect. Here's what it's going to cost. And you know what it's going to cost? Nothing. Nothing at all. It's not going to cost you anything to come into the office to talk. And I promise you this, if you come into the office, when we sit down and talk at the end of our meeting, there's going to be two things that I'm going to tell you that I'm going to do and one thing that I'm going to tell you not to do. The one thing I'm going to tell you not to do is I'm going to tell you not to even think about signing on with our firm that day. I don't even want you to think about it. I want you to just kind of process the conversation that we've had. I want you to think about all of the stuff that we've discussed. And then I want you to test me. I want you to test me to make sure that we were listening to you properly. Because what I will do for you, here's the two things. Number one, I'm going to follow up our meeting with a thank you note to you. And it's not just some boilerplate thank you note. It's going to be a note that reflects what we talked about in the meeting, and here's what we'll need to do if we'd like to move forward. It will also explain what our costs would be if we'd like to move forward, which we'd, of course, explain in the meeting too. But the second thing that I do is as soon as you leave the office, I dictate a story of our meeting. So we know what it was, and we recall what it was that we talked about. I got a lot of things that go on in my office, 450 households. How can you remember all of that, Mark? Well, I redictate the story of what we talked about so that we can always use it as a reflection point. And I'll tell you, one of the coolest things to do is 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road, for us to pull up some of those initial meeting notes and to share them with you and for you to see and realize, oh my goodness, how far have we come? And you'll be amazed at what those new goals look like in your life. You might say, geez, I'm hoping in retirement, let's say you're 50 years old, you're saying, geez, if I could spend $60,000 or $70,000 a year in retirement, that'd be great. And so here you are now at age 70, maybe 20 years later, when we pull up those notes and you realize you need to spend something like $120,000 or $130,000. Or what you thought was a lot of money back then is different from what you think is a lot of money now. When you work with a financial advisor that keeps a history of the conversations, just like a doctor, just like a dentist, we can have impactful conversations. We can remain fiduciaries in your life. We can truly believe and express to you that we are placing your interests first. That's what we do. That's what you're looking for. I know that. I know you might say to yourself, oh man, if I could only get a better rate of return. A better rate of return. Well, in front of me is this report that I have, this market barometer that looks at what the markets have done since November. Since November, at the end of November, going into December 1st, the end of November, did you know that year to date, the S&P 500 is up 27%? 27%, that's crazy. Now, don't get me wrong, we'll take it. we'll take it. But at 27%, doesn't that mean that the market has the potential to go down 27% as well? Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. We got to be careful. We got to be measured. We got to plan appropriately and think to ourselves, what is it that we really want to get out of a reasonable rate of return? My goal, our goal at Friedman Financial, is to help you achieve a rate of return of somewhere between 6 and 8% over time. Over time. Yeah, we've been lucky that the S&P 500 is up 27% through November. But that doesn't necessarily mean everything else is up 27%. Some things are up more, some things are up less. In fact, I'm looking here at a report. The energy sector, let's say you were buying energy stocks or energy investments, they're only up around 5% year to date. While information technology is up 43%. How about investing internationally? Emerging markets are up 10%. Small foreign investments are up 20%. And large foreign investments up about 18%. It's been a great year. And if the market dropped 10% right now the market dropped 10%, would I be concerned? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because markets are going to go up and they're going to go down. But you got to build a portfolio that includes stocks and include bonds. By the way, how have bonds done this year? Everyone always talks about stocks. Bonds have had a great year this year. If you're just investing in traditional, what you call intermediate bonds, bonds that come due in, say, 2 to 10 years, year to date, you're up 6%. That's not bad at all. In fact, bonds have performed far better than any of us ever expected this year. And that's because interest rates went down. Will interest rates go back up? Yep. In fact, our projection for 2020 is that interest rates will start to level off and may even start to creep up towards the end of 2020. What do we think about the stock market? Where do we think that's going to go? I believe you're going to get returns somewhere in the mid to low single digits next year. But I could be wrong. And you know what could really throw this whole thing into a big surprise? The outcome of the election. No one knows what will happen. You know, you got trade tariffs, you got all those kinds of things that are in play, but the election, that's really going to drive this. We'll see what happens. What would I do with your portfolio as it exists today? You've made so much money. Now, here's the practical thing to do. Here's the rational approach. Will you take some of your profits this year and rebalance into the investments that have not done so well? Oh my goodness, Mark. How could I do that? Why would I want to invest in stuff that has not done as well as the other stuff? Well, that's called prudent investing. And one of the things that makes our job as financial advisors appropriate for those that get emotional when they're investing is that we will take a very, very rational approach to helping you manage your portfolio. We're going to do things prudently to make sure that you remain on pace, that you just don't celebrate the ups and get really depressed about the downs. We're going to try to minimize that. We're going to squeeze that down a little bit to make sure that you're earning the right amount as it aligns with your overall financial situation. That's called good financial planning. That's called good preparation. And the only way to do that, by the way, is when we know where everything is and what everything is worth. Because if all I saw was your investment account, you say, we're up 30% for the year, or hey, we're down 25% for the year. What should I do? I don't know. I don't know what to do until I know how it impacts everything else in your life. That's the critical part of having a successful financial planning relationship. When your financial planner knows everything about your financial life, and when you visit with them at least once a year, you share all of the updates, that the financial planner asks the appropriate questions to make sure that the goals that you have in play, the lifestyle that you've grown to enjoy hasn't changed or is about to be upgraded or downgraded. You just never know. That's the plan. That's the strategy. Now is the time to get serious about your financial future. If you want to talk to a professional, we'd love to talk with you. We've been doing it for a long time. Phone number is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Give the office a call. We'll set up your free initial consultation. We'll do it next year. Well, you make the commitment now. We'll set you up for that meeting in January. We'll get you ready. We'll see you then. But for now, we've got to take a quick break. I will be back, and I promise to talk about those things that you need to put on your year-end financial checklist that I thought I'd talk about this segment, but I got carried away again. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Oh, 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 oh. Uh-huh.
Just got paid.
Friday night.
Friday night.
Party.
Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial in Peabody. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has provided financial advice in a language you can understand to individuals and families all throughout the North Shore. At Friedman Financial, we know that planning for your retirement is overwhelming. Don't leave this important decision to chance, or even worse, the algorithms of a faceless technology solution. Our certified financial planner professionals meet with you face-to-face to know you and your retirement goals. If now's the time to get serious about your retirement, meet with a certified financial planner at Friedman Financial in person. You deserve a strategy that incorporates every aspect of your retirement plan. To learn more, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall, just above Alto Forno Restaurant. We've been there almost 2 years now. We get to see a bird's eye view of what's going on over at the North Shore Mall, but I do it without the hassle of all of the traffic. So swing by if you'd like. Come by, say hello. If you'd like to schedule a free initial consultation, give our office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or hey, if you'd like to be one of the if you'd like to be among the 7,500 subscribers that sign up for Planning Pointers, it's a weekly newsletter that we have been writing in-house since March of 2009. And you all remember what happened in March of 2009. That was the low point in the stock market. We set up this communications piece where it's really easy. It's one page. It gives you three tidbits of financial advice in a language you can understand. You can sign up for it. All you need to do is go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page on our website, and that's where you can sign up. You put in your name, your email address, and boom, you're done. That's it. I promise you, I will not call you. You won't get these heckling calls or, hey, I saw you signed up for a newsletter. Would you like to come in for an appointment? No. We've been doing this far too long. We have great clients. We have generations of clients. We'd love to add you as to our client base if you're a good fit for the firm. But I want you to do it when the time is right for you. Working with a financial planner and getting your financial house in order and planning a strategy for your future requires a commitment. And some people don't like commitments. I mean, look, everyone's going to talk about going to the gym. They're going to go to the gym in January and say, this is the year I'm going to lose 30 pounds. Or this is the year I'm going to go on a diet. And they do it for about 6 weeks and then the commitment ends. Sometimes we do it for 3 days and the commitment ends. Financial planning is something that is not very difficult to commit to once you get started. Because a lot of it is set up automatically. It's the responsibility is ultimately placed on the financial advisor to try to guide you, communicate, coach you all along the way. There is some work that needs to be done by you to start it all up. And if you're willing to make that commitment, we'd be very happy to talk with you when the time is right. But now as we approach the end of the year, there was this story that came out. It was in a website called The Balance. THEBALANCE.com. And it was called Things to Put on Your Year-End Financial Checklist. It's one of the stories that I've actually included in our newsletter because I thought it was pretty good. And so I thought I'd share some of these ideas with you. One of the things it says to do, which is always a challenging thing, is to find time when you, your partner, your spouse, have time that is uninterrupted. Try to find an hour in your day that's uninterrupted. That means your phone is in the other room. You don't even hear it vibrating. The TV is not running. Music isn't playing on your Alexa. The kids aren't screaming. The phone isn't ringing. There's nothing in the oven. Maybe you just have a bottle of wine and two glasses, and that is all. I don't even want the fire crackling because in 15 minutes you'll think, oh my goodness, we have to put another log on the fire. Just uninterrupted time. If you could find that, if you could find that uninterrupted time, might you have an opportunity to sit down and ask yourself, How are we doing compared to last year? You know, politicians talk about it all the time. You know, are you better today than you were 4 years ago? When's the last time you asked yourself, are we better today than we were a year ago? I'm not talking about economically. I'm not talking about the big picture stuff. Just you. Are we as a couple, as a family, better today than we were a year ago? And let's write down the things where we say, yeah, we are better. Maybe we've found more time to be with one another. Maybe we have stable jobs. Maybe that's something that's really nice. Maybe we increase the amount that we put into our 401k plan. Maybe our savings has grown. Maybe the value of our house is up. Maybe we paid down debt. Maybe we were able to send a child off to college. What are some of the things that we're better off today than we were a year ago? And what are some of the things that we could say, you know, if we really put our mind to it, maybe we could work on a few things. If you could just do that, if you could just do that and take that list of here's the things that I hope to do for next year and put it away in a little time capsule that you'll reopen a year from now. And you know what? I know that you could do this because you could put it somewhere. Now, you'll forget where you put it. I'm sure of that. But that's why we have our phones. Now you can go and get your phone and put in a reminder that, hey, go look at the time capsule that I buried in the back of my closet. And you pull it out a year later. If you could do that, that simple little task, finding uninterrupted time to sit together, talk about what you've done well, what you could hope to do better, and what your plans are for the following year, that is the greatest start of a financial plan. Now, yeah, that's short-term stuff. Financial plans require both short-term planning and long-term planning. What are some of the big expenses that you might have coming up this year that you really need to think about and plan for? Maybe you got a wedding coming up. Maybe you have to replace the roof on the house. Maybe it's time to change the liner on the pool. Or maybe you need to buy a new snowblower. Those aren't part of the day-to-day, month-to-month expenses. What are some of those? And then what are some of those bigger plans? And could you imagine being able to sit together and just kind of dream? I wish, I hope, I wonder what all of these things could be like. All of the things that I want, would I be able to achieve them in 10 years, 15 years? Imagine yourself 15 years from now. What will you look like? Well, you can see that on an app. You can download that pretty easy. What might your finances look like? But what's even more exciting is when you look back and you say to yourself, where was I 15 years ago? What did my situation look like? What did my life look like? Was I married? Did I have kids? Was I divorced? Was I remarried? Were my parents alive? Think about that. When you work with a financial planner, we're going to capture what those hopes and dreams and goals have been all your life. Every time we meet, we capture those stories. And being able to bring those stories back to life from 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years or so, years ago, that really puts your life into perspective. And you realize it's not about trying to pick the next big stock. It's not trying to win it big or take big risks. It's about the incremental things that you did well and what you were successful with. That is one of the greatest things that you could do as a last-minute treat for yourself as you approach this year. Think about it. The second thing you might want to think about is getting on a debt diet. Will you get yourself out of debt? I oftentimes find it interesting that people don't seem to think that their mortgage is debt. They say, oh, I have no debt. I have no credit cards, no student loans, no auto loans. Do you have a mortgage? Oh, yeah, I have a mortgage. Folks, that's still debt. Now, I'm not saying debt is a bad thing. In fact, right now, with interest rates being as low as they are, maintaining your debt is a good thing, as long as it's maintained in moderation. But maintaining personal loan debts, student loan debts, even student loan debts that can be expensive. I mean, if you've just had them for a few years, that's one thing. But if you're still carrying your student loans from 30 years ago, folks, it's time to cut those down. If you're carrying credit card debt, now that's really bad. Credit card debt needs to go away. I've always told people about the story of someone that came to our office several years ago, and she had $30,000 in the bank. And she says, Mark, I want to save $5,000 in an emergency fund, and I want to invest $25,000 of it. Can you help me? Now, first of all, I explained to her that I wasn't going to be the person to help with that because, first of all, that's not what we do. We don't just make a simple investment decision. I need to know the whole financial situation. Secondarily, the situation that she presented wasn't one that really fit with the scope of our office, but I was more than happy to provide her with some free advice. And the reason I did that was because she was a referral from an existing client who just really wanted some free advice. And I told her, I asked her, tell me about the rest of your financial situation. She says, well, it's pretty simple. I make about $60,000 a year. I've got $25,000 in the bank. I want to keep about $5,000 in an emergency fund. I rent a place. I want to put about 20 of it away in an investment. I said, do you have any debt? She says, well, I just got some credit cards. I said, well, how much is outstanding on the credit cards? And she said, $16,000. I said, do you find that problematic? She says, well, no, I pay a little bit towards it every month. She was paying $200 a month towards her $16,000 credit card. I said, my advice to you is to take the money that you have in the bank and pay off your credit card. And she says, well, if I paid $16,000 out of my $25,000, that would only leave me with $9,000 left. I said, yes. And I want to have $5,000 in an emergency fund. Then I'd only have $4,000 to invest for the future. That doesn't make any sense. I said, well, yeah, it really does. Because what you would earn on the money that you would be giving me to invest would be far less than what you're paying in a credit card. Remember, her credit card is charging her 18%. Now, can I get you a guaranteed rate of return of 18% on your investment? Absolutely not. Frankly, I can't get you a guaranteed rate of return of anything. I can hope that we'll get somewhere around 6 to 8%. But even in that case, you'd be losing 10% on the deal because you're paying $18,000 to a credit card and only getting 6 or 8% on your investment, if you could even get that. And God forbid, what if the market went down and you had a negative return for the year? Folks, we need to get out of dumb debt. We need to go on a debt diet. Get rid of your credit cards. If you get a bonus this year, if you get a gift from grandma, if you get money that comes in, use it to be financially responsible. Take the money and pay off your credit card debt. Work it to pay down your student loans. Work it to pay down any personal loans that you owe to others. I'm not so worried about the mortgage, as long as you've got a decent mortgage rate, and most people do. Do that. Be financially responsible. It's not necessarily about building your assets that is important. It's also reducing your debt, especially the bad debt. That is what's called financial advice in a language you can understand. We got the holidays coming up, and I hope you all find good cheer, spend time with family, be responsible with all that you do, and make some good decisions this year. And if one of those decisions is to say, I need to get my financial house in order, I hope you'll think about us. I hope you'll give us a call. Our phone number, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We are Friedman Financial, where we've been providing financial advice in a language you can understand to individuals and families all around the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the Southern New Hampshire area. If now's the time to get serious about your financial planning, I hope you'll give us a call. I got to get out of here. We'll be back again next Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m., providing you with more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.